You know, we were all kind of ingrained in our studies of the sage on the stage, and I'm going to stand and I'm going to impart my wisdom upon everybody. But the reality is, you know, kids don't need to know the dates of World War I, memorize them anymore, because they can ask Siri on their phone or Alexa or whoever and have that answer in 5 seconds or less. So why do we need to ask them to memorize it? We need instead to teach them how to critically think, how to problem solve, how to work together, how to communicate. I mean, those are the things that we need to be working with kids on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Greg Doverspike. And Greg is the superintendent at Mosinee School District in Mosinee, Wisconsin. Greg, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about your school and about your role as the superintendent there.
Yeah, you know, we're a school district, medium-sized district for the state of Wisconsin. We have about 1,850 kids district-wide, located in central Wisconsin. You know, you can't get much more central than us. We're kind of a suburban school district around Wausau, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Rapids are all relatively close to us, with Stevens Point being about 20 minutes to the south, and we're just a couple miles from DC Everest and Wausau. So we're kind of a suburban school district with a large industry base. We have a lot of manufacturing in our area. And then we're also obviously a bedroom community for those areas. But my responsibility is just kind of like most superintendents, lead the district, kind of keep an eye on the future, yet get through the day-to-day stuff, but also be looking into the future with where we need to go with education and deal with budget and, you know, pass a referendum. So we're dealing with some building stuff. So there's no shortage of work.
Yeah. No, it never stops, does it? Even though, okay, so today I always try to tell people it's June 13th today. This podcast will probably come out mid-August. So we're going to have most of the summer behind us by the time this comes out. But even in the summer, it's not, we don't sit on our laurels. We don't get to lounge in the sun the whole time. And you don't even have sun right now. You told me it was raining today. So.
Yes. No sun out my window.
Darn it. I love the sun. I'm definitely a fan of warm weather and the sun and all of that good stuff. So let's talk a little bit about what your thoughts are about the future of education, because it's changing a lot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would say that we're probably the only institution that's still in existence that has never gone through a major revolution or hasn't gone through a revolution for the last 100 years in terms of how we deliver instruction. How we deal with the Carnegie unit of seat time as the major factor, how we determine success of a student in terms of competency-based versus, grades and checking boxes. So I think we're at a point where we need to go through a major revolution. I think it's an opportunity to go through the revolution for a variety of factors, whether that be technology usage. I think a major player in why we need to do a revolution is kids have changed drastically. The new generation and the post, that started in the 21st century, they're much different than what my generation was and the generation before us in terms of how they think, how they operate, how they handle situations. So I think we need to change to accommodate for who they are. And then funding, teacher shortages. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved beyond just the way kids learn and the way kids operate today that I think are going to force us to make a change if we want to continue to evolve as an industry, and also if it's going to be what's best for us to lead kids and educate them properly, we're going to have to change for them.
Yeah, that's for sure. I tell you, it's in the last 10 years, just the changes that you've seen in AI and just technologies. Yeah. I mean, look what we're doing today. I mean, you're in Wisconsin, I'm in Corpus Christi, Texas, and we're having a conversation that is going to be heard by who knows how many people in what part of the world, it's just incredible. And communication and the access to information too. And just, and digital natives, they're always, my daughter hates it when I say that, but kids are digital natives. They don't know a world without technology. They don't know that at all.
No. And this, you think about this generation is growing up with technology available to them at all times. I mean, if you ask them to think about a rotary phone or even just a corded phone in some cases. You know, it's a native foreign concept to them. Music is found on your telephone. It's not in CDs or records or 8-tracks or cassettes. You know, movies are streamed. You don't play DVDs anymore. I mean, this is the generation that these kids grew up in, and the generation that we need to accommodate. And also, these kids are used to communicating with others via social media, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok. That, and other things that I'm probably not even aware of is how kids are communicating now with each other across, various boundaries. And kids are communicating with people that they've never met in person and may never meet in person and talk to face to face. So it's just a completely different generation. And I think we need to be willing to accommodate that, because I think too often we're talking about trying to limit their technology because of the screen time they have. But in some cases, it's almost like saying, if a kid likes to read, are we going to take away all their books during the school day? No, our answer would be no. So this is how these kids learn. This is how these kids communicate. We need to be willing to adapt to them instead of forcing them to adapt to our antiquated methods.
Right. Yeah. So what are some things that you see that, do you have some ideas of what you think should be done, or things that you guys have already started implementing? Where are you at with moving forward with how you're leading?
Yeah, we're in the conversations. We did some piloting this year of use of technology resources to do personalized learning with an AI component. You almost have to be willing to take that AI component into play. And we're really trying to encourage our kids to learn at their speed, at their pace, using AI to help them, trying to get more into a personalized concept, using things like Conmigo, eSpark, Project Read. Those are some things that we're using to, because the reality is kids are coming to us with more needs than any other time in my 25 years and any other time probably in the history of education, with social emotional issues, mental health, split households, varying degrees of socioeconomic status. So kids come with a different skill set and different needs, and we have to be able to adapt. And we can't clone 15 teachers per 25 kids in the classroom. There's only one. So we need to utilize the resources we have available to us, which is AI. And that's kind of the direction we're headed. We're going to go further into it next year. We're actually purchasing licenses and seats for some of these resources I mentioned earlier. And then we're going to be starting a conversation on competency-based grading and moving to that method and really looking at, is seat time truly the requirement to determine whether or not a kid has successfully completed a grade? If a kid can get done with a semester of algebra in 3 weeks, why are we making them sit there for 18 weeks? Right. Because that's what the institution and the structure of the institution has told us is the right way to do it. But the question is that truly the right way to do it?
Yeah. It's really becoming and needs to become more individualized. I've heard that, this podcast is number 70 of the ones that I've done. And I'm getting such a wealth of knowledge from people that are the same way. They're thinking the same way. It's like we're trying to, the world of sitting in a classroom, sitting in desks, listening to a lecture, they're gone. Those ideas are changing, and just different ways that people are adapting to it and making education much more individualized for the kids it's fantastic. It makes it, it'll help the kids that are struggling, and it'll keep the kids that are learning and bored out of their mind not be bored, right? That's exciting.
Well, and the technology is going to be huge, as you kind of alluded to with engagement. Right now, engagement is at a little bit of a lull in terms of, especially in the older grades, because quite frankly, as you mentioned, kids are bored because it doesn't relate to them. One of the things about this generation is there's two things they like to know. They like to know why they have to do something. Why? What's the why behind it? Which isn't always a negative thing to ask. And they also, want to be engaged. They want to see relevancy in what we're doing. They want to make it relate to their lives and learn on their terms. And that's not a bad thing either. So I think we need to be willing to engage them in different ways. We need to understand how they are engaged. You think about a TikTok or a Snapchat, how long in time they are. It's not an infinite 45-minute lecture. It's short term and it's quick and it's moving constantly. And that's kind of how we need to be willing to adjust. And it's going to be a huge shift for our educators, because most of them weren't raised with that concept as natives. It's right. A new world for us, those of us in the previous generations. But you know, the biggest thing we're trying to tell our staff right now is we need to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because things are going to pivot quickly. You know, I mean, that's our motto for this coming school year, is get comfortable being uncomfortable, because, you know, and we've told them what resources we may be using this year may not be what we use next year, because what we use next year may not even be thought of or created yet, or maybe may just be in beta testing and we have to wait for it to come out. So we can't really be locked in on anything. We need to be willing to move and pivot. But the bottom line is we just need to figure out what we want to teach kids and how we want to get them there. And we'll find the resources we need to help meet that.
And hopefully it'll help them as well. You know, I mean, I think technology, we've seen technology be something that can help, that can support, if used properly, right? You just have to figure out that balance, I think.
Yeah, we had a teacher this year that piloted with eighth grade ELA, used Conmigo with one class and the traditional method with the other. And the Conmigo class, those kids were able to interact with the AI chatbot and were able to get their writing, get immediate feedback on their writing multiple times during a period, versus the teacher having to say, all right, I'm going to carry home 50 two-page essays, three-page essays. I'll grade them all tonight and I'll get back to you tomorrow with what it looks like. Well, you know, the kids didn't. You know, the kids want the immediate feedback and the workflow for the teacher. Yeah, and the teacher, you know, the workload is different. So kind of the conversations we've had with even people that are a little bit further ahead of us is the workload is different. It doesn't going to go away per se, but it's not grading papers. It's looking at the data to see where your kids are and see where they might be struggling or where they're not, or what groups I want to put them in tomorrow. And it kind of is almost a more gratifying kind of work instead of just sitting there grading papers all the time. And I think it gives you an opportunity to better know your kids, because you're going to know them on a data level, but you're also going to interact with them in more one-on-one basis in small group. So I think you're going to know them better on a social basis as well. So I think the opportunity to build a quality relationship, because we're still a person business. Computers can't replace people in what we do.
Exactly.
Computers can make our life easier, and technology can make our life easier and change how we do things, but we're still a people business, and there's still going to be a need for people in education. But I think the role we are going to take on as educators is going to differ. And one of the conversations we're having locally is we need to defront the room. There can't be a front of the room anymore.
And
that's a difficult concept for a lot of people to use. You know, we were all kind of ingrained in our studies of the sage on the stage, and I'm going to stand and I'm going to impart my wisdom upon everybody. And but the reality is, you know, kids don't need to know the dates of World War I. Memorize them anymore, because they can ask Siri on their phone or Alexa or whoever and have that answer in 5 seconds or less. So why do we need to ask them to memorize it? We need instead teach them how to critically think, how to problem solve, how to work together, how to communicate. I mean, those are the things that we need to be working with kids on.
Yeah. And what do you think, you know, because there is this there's a big gap. I think there's a huge generational gap. And I saw this a little bit in the pandemic. It seemed to me, and I don't want to be, I certainly don't want to be insulting to anybody, because it was hard. It was really hard. It was a hard time, and it was a hard time to figure it out. But something that I observed, and I've been doing teletherapy since 2011, so long before the pandemic. So I had already learned, and we really did try to help as much as we can. But I saw the schools that were willing to pivot and were willing to embrace virtual online changes, and how do we get the information to the kids, and how do we make sure that they are doing their lessons and not sitting them in front of a computer for 7.5 hours during the day. They were successful and they did well. But there was resistance, especially with our generation. I'm 57, and us that are 50 and older, some of them were like, no, I don't know how to do that. And I saw and it really fell flat on its face. And I've seen since, we tried online during the pandemic. We're never doing that again. It's like that. But did you you try to be. I don't even know what the word is, sensitive to that, but the world's not going to be sensitive as it changes, you know? So how do you think that's going to move? I mean, how do we deal with those that are just kind of, and maybe you guys are already the people that are stuck in the 60s, in the 70s, the 80s, they take your pick.
Well, and I think, you know, ironically, I had this conversation with our staff at the end of the school year. Kind of we had a AI conversation or a personalized learning conversation with the AI component. And one of the things I said is, you know, the idea of get comfortable being uncomfortable, and that there are still going to be school districts that are going to be traditional. And if you're really firmly believing in the traditional model, then that's fine. But there's going to be plenty of districts around us that are still going to buy into that concept. And don't be afraid to, you know, we will help you. I mean, we're not here to push people out the door. We're not here to fire people.
Right.
You know, but we're here to try to get you to understand, and we're going to hitch our wagons to those that are kind of buying into what we're doing. And eventually they're either going to say, hey, this is something I want to be a part of, or they're moving in a direction I'm not comfortable with. Maybe it's time for me to find somewhere else that agrees with my philosophies better. And that's really what it's going to eventually come down to, I think, is you're going to have people that are going to want to move, and you're going to have people that aren't. And I think there's still going to be districts that aren't willing to move forward, whether it be, you know, the reluctance of administration, of board, of community, of staff, of people, or they just don't believe that that's the direction that things need to go. And there'll be opportunities for people to find those areas. But I think, you know, you just need to hitch your wagon to those that are really willing to move forward, and you can worry about the naysayers. I think they'll either weed themselves out or they'll get on the bus.
Yeah. And some of it's just going to be retirement, right? I mean, some of it's just the next generation is coming, and we need to educate them, and you know, my daughter's 27 and she doesn't know a world without technology, and she, you know, my kids are that they are that generation, you know, they're graduated from college and they're going into education. They're going into whatever field it is that they're going into, but they are our next administrators. They're the ones that are, and they are going to have a way different view. So it is going to, I think you're right. Some of it's just going to over time figure itself out, just by the nature of human life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good. And I think if you don't embrace some of it, school of choice is going to hurt some of these districts as well. And that's a concern, right?
Yeah. You know, people are going to gravitate towards where they believe their kids are going to want to learn best, or the philosophy they want to agree to. I mean, I think one of the things that those of us in the older generations need to realize is, I think it's really easy for us to point at all the faults of the current generation. But they really are doing some things that are fantastic, and they're marvelous. And quite honestly, they have traits that I wish I had. You know, one of those being work-life balance. I mean, they have a much better work-life balance in the current generations than I do. You know, for me, there's no such thing as it's work-life balance. And they're more like, hey, you know, like I want a life outside of the school, and I'm going to take it. And if you don't like it, well, then so be it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, I mean, it's, I wish I had more of it, but I was raised by parents that were raised by people that were around during the Great Depression. And that was the mentality you had. And this generation is also extremely inclusive. You know, they welcome all kinds of people to their group. You know, they don't get caught up in hyphenated sub names. You know, they just, whoever wants to come can come. And so there's traits that they have that I think we need to be willing to open up to and welcome and learn from. I think sometimes we paint these new generations as like the devil that was created by technology, and, you know, and that I'll point out all their faults, but they really do some things that are really quite, you know, their problem solving skills in some cases are quite remarkable.
Yeah.
And what they can do with this technology is amazing.
Yeah. And if we can get their social emotional in line, I think they're going to do amazing things. I do think that is a hurdle that we are definitely there is there. It's a reality that's there. But I do like the work-life balance. Let me tell you, I love it. I'm a workaholic. I am. I love, but I don't consider what I do work. So, you know, this conversation, this is fun for me. I love doing these podcasts. I run a company. My kids and my husband were a family business. They love to tease me like, Mom, you're the least tech person, but you run an online therapy company. What the heck? And I'm like, but you know what? I have lots of really smart people around me, and I do have, I have the work-life balance in the fact that I work from home, and it's a different thing. I've done it since 2011. So a long time. But that's what our therapists, when you talk about therapists, and we're finding sped teachers too, that just flock to this model because they want to be home with their kids. And, you know, we are a woman dominated industry when you talk about education. And so, you know, giving them that ability to do that and work outside the box there, that's a whole nother, I mean, we could probably talk for an hour on just that, but it's just interesting. The world is changing so much. And you and I, we think about taking a balance of work and life. They talk about, well, let's just balance our lives and try not to work if we can find a way to make money without working, right? I think they understand that they have to make money. They have to pay their bills. They're getting there as far as that goes. But then it's not just like, well, I have to have this particular kind of job. That's not how, and it's such a different mindset. It really is.
Interesting.
Okay, so great conversation. One last question, and I try to ask I don't always get to everybody, but and this is kind of going to go along with what we've been talking about the whole time, but you cannot say money because everybody needs more money, every educator would like to have more money, but if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school right now, like it would just go away and you'd never have to worry about it again, what would it be?
You know, I think that's a great question. You know, I mean, it would be easy for me to talk about engaged student engagement and technology, you know, which is something that I think that would solve a lot of things. But I think the root cause of a lot of what we do with it is student dysregulation, which is some of the social, emotional, and mental health. You know, I think, you know, you can go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs and, you know, all those factors. You know, kids can't learn, can't look, can't move forward if they don't know where the next meal is, or their mental health isn't great, or their family life isn't great. So it's just kind of that whole, you know, if we could bring kids all in, you know, healthy, happy, and fed, then I think a lot of this other stuff would take care of itself. Kids are coming to us with needs that I've never seen in my career. And it's heartbreaking to hear some of the stories of what these kids are going through. You know, and it makes you, you know, it breaks your heart hearing it. It makes you thankful for what you went through as a kid and the opportunities you had because of the family you were with. But, I think that's that whole factor is the student mental health, social, emotional learning, just the regulation. I think that would be huge in allowing our industry to continue to move forward.
Yeah. And it is something that it's not going to go away. Not going to go away. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep serving those kids. And that's the best. That's the absolute best. So, all right. Well, Greg, thank you so much.
Yeah,
excellent conversation. I'm so excited that you were willing to come on. Tell people where they should go if they want to learn a little bit more about you and about Mosini.
Yeah, they can visit our website, www.mosinischools.org. And we're also part of a group called Liftoffs, which is out of CSUP4. Down in West Salem, that's kind of really working hard on some of this personalized learning using AI. So those are two opportunities that you can learn more about us and just kind of, if you want to ask questions or talk, by all means, my contact information is on there. We're willing to share what we're learning with anybody and have conversations. The more we can work together, the better off we're going to be. And, you know, like minds or people with the same vision are going to learn from each other. And talking about resources, there's a core group of people we're working with, but we have all the people I'm working with have a strong desire to expand that core to include anybody that wants to kind of continue on this path with us.
Awesome. Thank you, Greg. Thank you for coming on the Brighter Together podcast because, you know, we really are brighter together. Just like you were saying, it's so great to see so many educators that are just willing to share. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.